Welcome to Hope is Here. Talking with Bill Reeser. He's author of a really good book. It's March Madness. It's basketball time. And it talks about his life going from a high school street ball legend in New York City to being redeemed by Jesus Christ. He overcame a lot of obstacles, sexual abuse as a child, being involved in gang stuff and impacted growing up without a father, gambling, alcohol, adultery, you name it. The list goes on and on of things that Bill used to fill that God-sized shape hole in his heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And if you missed any of our first three talks with Bill, they're only 14 minutes long. I know you'll be blessed and encouraged. Also, maybe you want to share it with somebody else since he's got such a great story involving basketball during this March Madness time period here. Just go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and know that you will really, really be blessed by that. Well, Bill, as you started being transformed by Jesus Christ, you were trying to practice just the basic things of being a follower of Jesus, and one of them is prayer. And you talked about that in your book that I really, really was blessed by, encouraged. I've been a longtime follower of Jesus, but you talked about a few things. You came up with a list about what prayer is. Can you share that with us?
Sure. I just became so attracted to prayer. I just loved being around people that prayed. I wanted to learn how to pray. And I was told early on I might have been a Christian for just a few weeks. And a person came up to me one day and said, Bill, do you realize you have as much power in your prayers as someone who's been walking with the Lord for 40 years? If you just have faith, if you just believe God and just pray God's will, pray God's word, not your words, but pray the word of God over your life, pray God's will over your life, you have as much power. And if you live, you know, totally submitted to the plans and purposes of God, you can do as much in your prayers as someone that's been walking with the Lord that long. I said, really? And I just believed that. I just always was one that just took God at his word. And I just wanted to learn how to pray more effectively because I wanted to have this relationship. I believe that ultimately prayer, the ultimate purpose of prayer is to grow our relationship with our Father. Mm-hmm. And we're born into this world separated from our Father. I had no earthly father, so my concept of a heavenly father was distorted. Mm-hmm. But that's why Jesus came. So he can reconcile us to our Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a salvation principle as well as a prayer principle. Mm-hmm. And so when we accept Christ as our Lord, we know that he's always going to hear us when we pray. That's why we should always keep the lines open. That's one of the things that I wrote. I just made a list, and I was just talking about the list. It's our connection to heaven and heaven's connection to us. We need to keep those lines open. Prayer needs to be a lifestyle, not something that we do every now and then. Prayer is how we communicate. Prayer is how we grow that relationship. Prayer is how we wait on God, hear from God, obtain the things of God. Nothing in heaven is ever dispatched on our behalf that's not jump-started by prayer. Mm-hmm. Charles Spurgeon said this, if your faith in Christ doesn't lead you to pray, get rid of it. Have nothing to do with it. And ask Christ to help you start over. That's what Spurgeon said. Wow. And I just believe that. I believe that everything is rooted in prayer. Jesus' definition for what we should call the church, my Father's house would be called a house of prayer, not a house of worship or teaching, but a house of prayer. In other words, the atmosphere should be prayer. Prayer should, the aroma of your church should be prayer. The aroma of a Christian should be prayer. That should define us. You want to be known as a person who prays. You show me a person who prays, I'll show you a person who believes in God. And because he knows, because that person knows what a real relationship is. And that's what I write about. I talk about, listen, prayer is just a relationship. Prayer is the evidence that you have a relationship and you want to sustain that relationship. Prayer is how we start a relationship with Christ. We can't enter into a relationship with Christ until we say a prayer. It's the sinner's prayer. It's not by a sinner's acknowledgement. It's a sinner's prayer. We have to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that Christ was raised from the dead and we'll be saved. That's what Scripture says. We have to confess with our mouth. How do we confess with our mouth? Well, that would be prayer. And so I just believe that prayer is so, so essential.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. How old were you when you made that decision for Jesus?
Yeah, so I was 37.
So I love that because, you know, you didn't have some of the things, you know, people go to church, you know, because their parents make them go to college, get away from it and all. But your faith really became your own. You took all this stuff, you know, what it says in the Bible. I mean, you know, you didn't have anything clouding your influence on the digit. You just came, took it at its word at 37 years old.
I like to give the golf analogy on that. I became a golf instructor. And the same thing with anything. If I got someone that's never played golf before, I could pretty much teach them how to be a really, really, really good golfer. But I've had someone that's played a while, that's had a lot of bad habits, really hard to fix that guy. And so same thing with Christianity. I didn't have any junk. I didn't have any, you know, people telling me this or that, or, you know, this theology, that theology, and, you know, this persuasion, that persuasion. You know, when I read scriptures, you know, the only people that God identified was believers who had the Spirit and unbelievers who didn't have the Spirit. And God loves both, and we should too. Mm-hmm. And so I just love believers, and I love unbelievers because I know that in this life I'll never lock eyes with someone else that Christ hasn't died for. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I always tell Christians, I said, it's great to get discipled. It's great to be around other Christians. It's great to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do that by developing our prayer life, but we can never forget who we were before we got saved. Mm. And I've learned that I can never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer. And I remind believers, it's amazing how ugly our sins look when other people commit them. And, so, and you know, prayer helps me see people and love people that way. Prayer helps me love someone else that was incapable of loving. Because you know who was like that? Me. You know who was helpless? Me. You know who was filled with hate? Me. And I needed someone to teach me and demonstrate what real love is. And that's what I try and do for people that don't know Christ. Prayer helps me do that. Prayer helps me be more like Christ than any Bible study, any teaching, any church ever could, would, or should. Mm. But when I spend time in God's presence, and not just praying, prayer is not just talking, it's listening, it's waiting. It's just enjoying God's presence. Because the Bible, if we said a prayer right now, the promise is that where two or more gathered, there he is. He's with us. If two of you would agree to touch anything that you ask for, it shall be given to you, my Father, which is in heaven. What great promises that Scripture has about prayer that we can ask. If we keep on asking, we keep on knocking, he's going to eventually answer. I mean, I just think about that. And that tells us that, you know, God's not a spiritual bellhop or, you know, some Santa Claus, you know, that we can just, you know, ask for things when we want things. Many of God's best answered prayers for me was no or not yet, because I wasn't ready to receive what I was praying for. Mm-hmm. Because God had some maturity. He had some character that he needed to build in me. Some of my prayer requests early on for financial to save me financially, God had to build. I wasn't ready for a financial blessing because I wasn't fit to take that money in, because God had to teach me something about tithing. God had to teach me something about giving back the first portion so that I would always be blessed 100-fold. Mm. And so there's so much that God teaches me through prayer.
Well, one of the things you talked about in your book, Vertical Leap, you talked about God being a mountain mover. And, you know, you said this simply, first, we got to believe that prayer works.
You know, that's what he says. Jesus says in Mark, have faith in God. If you have faith, you can speak to any mountain, and that mountain has to go. You can say, mountain be removed in Jesus' name. You know, that's a great scripture, because it would be one of the top 10 scriptures of all time, posted in everyone's house. People be wearing it on the t-shirts, but they don't quote that one. You know why? Because of the condition tag to it. Mm-hmm. He says you can move mountains, and those mountains have to go, but first forgive anyone that you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven can forgive your sins too. So instead of speaking to mountains, most people are climbing mountains because of unforgiveness in their heart. Mm-hmm. You see, and prayer will always lead you to opening up your heart and making sure that nothing in your life is hindering your relationship with God, so that you know your prayers are being answered. Here's one conversation that'll never take place with me when I get to heaven: why I didn't forgive other people when God has forgiven me of so much. Mm. I know we're talking about forgiveness, but this is what prayer does.
Well, and that's what, and tomorrow we're going to talk about forgiveness. And man, you had a powerful story that you shared about prayer and forgiveness that you experienced at a Promise Keepers event. We're going to talk about that. But through prayer, I love also you talked about in your book, Vertical Leap. I also believe that God wants us to pray according to his will. In 1 John, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we asked of him. But I think so many times, Bill, what you shared earlier, because maybe we didn't have a good earthly father, we think, man, would our heavenly father really do that?
You know, not having an earthly father can really distort your view of who God is. It's not uncommon for many of us to look at God, the character, the nature of God, who God is, and compare him to our earthly parents. But I always tell God, God's not your mama and God ain't your papa, okay? He's God all by himself. And when he reveals his love to you, he reveals his character as well too. And I've discovered he's the heavenly father that I've always been looking for. And he loves me with an everlasting love. And so prayer opens up that door for that to happen, for me to experience that love. And I just love that. I just love that I have that relationship with my father, because when I started my story, from the first session that we have, you know, by telling you I grew up without the physical touch of a father, but I have felt and know just from reading scriptures that I have a heavenly father that loves me more than I could ever love myself or anyone. And he loves me more than my earthly father ever could. And so prayer opens up that door. Prayer expands our minds to the truth about who God is.
And God, through all that, the prayer, and he's helped to heal that wound, lack of a father wound. Is that fair to say?
You know, that was my root issue. And he healed that. I didn't realize I needed to forgive my father, but I really did. And since that, God has healed me of all my wounds. God's healed me of so, so very much. And most importantly, I'm restored in my relationship, thanks be to God, to Jesus Christ, with my heavenly Father in heaven. And now all my relationships are a blessing. And God's blessed me in so many areas. And I never wanted to do anything in ministry. I never wanted to be a pastor. God, don't make me a pastor. Don't put me in a church. I said, I just want to go out and tell people about Jesus, because my life's mission verse is found in Acts 20:24. But my life is worth nothing to me until I finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others about the wonderful grace of God. I live that out each and every day, because every day I know that there's people that are walking around without the love of Jesus in their hearts. And the only thing that's going to matter to us when we see God face to face is who's with us in heaven and who's not. Mm. And that burns me, and that bothers me. And I know where I'm headed. I know what my identity is. I know that I'm saved. I know where I'm going. I know my name is written in a book, never to be erased. I'm never going to take my salvation for granted. I'm going to work out my salvation, not work for my salvation. I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, because fear is the beginning of wisdom. I need God's wisdom in my life. And how do I get all this? Through prayer. Prayer drops God's wisdom down on me. Just like he has a holy mic drop with wisdom that he drops down on us. Here, think about this for a while. Let it blow your mind so you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because you got a stinking way of thinking. And when you pray, I'll give you a holy way of thinking so that you can be my best disciple, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, because that's what it means to be a Christian, to give God the opportunity to change the way you think, which would lead to different actions. That's discipleship. That's obedience. And we do it out of gratitude. See, prayer makes all this possible. I can't do this by thinking about it. Prayer makes it all possible.
Wow. Good stuff here on prayer. Well, we're going to have Bill with us for one more program. I hope that you'll join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about forgiveness. If you've got somebody you need to forgive that just has wounded you, or maybe you just need to forgive yourself, I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Ask somebody to join you. If you tuned in late, I want to remind you, you can catch this 14-minute program on our website, on the podcast, anytime at your convenience at hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
Hey, how you doing? This is Bill Reeser. I just want to tell you that we're so excited about the launch of Encounter on March the 18th at Church of the Savior on 1301 Brannan Road at 6:30 p.m. It's a great ministry. For more information, go to www.thehopeencounter.org. www.thehopeencounter.org. This is a ministry to help broken and hurting people overcome life's adversity so they can discover the free, devoted life to Jesus Christ. March 18th, I hope you all come out.